Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, it's Nick. Before we get going today, I wanted to give you a few discount codes for the products we love and our show sponsors. So don't just turn this one off. If you're listening to this podcast, we at Hardwick Life want to reward you for your loyalty. So take 25% off of your order by using the code HardwickFF25, because after this long, we consider you friends and family. That's HardwickFF25 at Hardwick.life. It's like Hardwick.com, but that one was taken by a shirt company. So Hardwick.life is where you can find it. For 20% off at BubsNaturals.com, use the code Hardwick20. That's Hardwick20 at BubsNaturals.com. And for 10% off at Julian Bakery, use the code Nick Hardwick. That's me at JulianBakery.com. Again, Nick Hardwick at JulianBakery.com. Now, if you want to hear what I take daily and get some insight as to what you should take, maybe stay tuned. If not, skip ahead about a minute and we will be into the show. Thank you all. All right. So you want to know what you should buy? I take six of our Hardwick Life products every day. I originally started that company out of kind of selfish needs. I wanted to get access to the absolute highest grade products in the world. Our supplements are pharmaceutical grade, all of them. They've got unique delivery mechanisms. So you aren't just getting expensive urine. You're actually absorbing the products at a higher rate than cheaper store-bought supplements. I take Brain, Joint, Fuel, Phyto, Pump, and Neuro. Now, that may be a little extreme for you, but those are my jams. Now, I've done a lot of damage to my body. I need all of them. The Brain and Joint, they're kind of self-explanatory, right? Fuel is one of the only whey protein powders that I can take that doesn't upset my tummy. And we hear the same thing quite frequently from folks that don't process dairy all that well. That's because it's made from New Zealand grass-fed whey. New Zealand has the highest dairy standards in the world. There's a noticeable difference, and the flavor, it's pretty damn incredible. For a peri-workout drink, which peri-workout, you'll hear that term, it means around your workout, or to add protein midday, I put two scoops of Fuel with Pump, which has 3 grams of creatine per serving, 400 milligrams of ATP, which is the body's energy currency, and 95 milligrams of caffeine to get you all fired up. All of those, they allow you to do more work in the gym, getting better results. More work equals better results. Who would have thought? Seriously, you can work harder and have a lower rate of perceived exertion. And I like to add in Phyto, which has all of the necessary nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, along with this patented formula called TrueBrock, which contains glucoraphanin, which researchers at MIT are calling the fountain of youth. And lastly, I take Neuro about an hour before bed. Dr. Andrew Huberman, a Stanford neuroscientist, host of the Huberman Lab podcast and recent guest with Joe Rogan. I'm sure some of you listen to that guy. He's pretty awesome. Recommended in our third episode ever. We got him before he blew up. Magnesium L-threonate, as it's the only form of magnesium to cross the blood-brain barrier. And it increases levels of brain magnesium, and that leads to better cognition and a more robust memory. That's important. It also has a slight sedative effect to help you get to sleep. All right, I'm not going to bore you with more details. Get over Hardwick Life and use the code HardwickFF25 for 25% off. Now, you guys that have been following me for a while now know that I've used Bubs Naturals since the company's inception. I don't know. I may be their first ever ambassador. I know there's a lot of bigger names now that are promoting Bubs. The company has blown up and is thriving because many folks like me understand how great their product is. I take two scoops of their collagen protein and one scoop of the MCT oil powder daily with my morning coffee. Try it once, you're going to be hooked. It's unbelievably creamy. The collagen is also really a great way to sneak some protein into your kids' lives too. It's unflavored, so you can add it into pancakes, oatmeal, mac and cheese, or juice, and they're not going to notice a thing. Use the code HARDWICK20 for 20% off. Lastly, before we get to the show, I want to tell you about my friends at Julian Bakery. This company, they've really got their act together. I believe most people could use more protein in their lives. It's got a very positive effect on satiety, brain signaling, and maintaining a healthy body weight. I recommend 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Please don't listen to Zac Efron's trainer, who on their show falsely ties too much protein to kidney failure and loss of bone density. And certainly don't go to the Game Changers propaganda documentary on Netflix for your science. Neither of these use actual science. There's a lot of kooks out there, folks. We're going to keep fighting the good fight. I love a variety of protein. Obviously, I've told you about our whey protein, Bubs Collagen Protein. And Julian Bakery's specialty, in my opinion, is their egg white protein powder. They come in ridiculous flavors like pumpkin pie, coconut, maple glazed donut. They blend easily. They're a great addition in the middle of the day. Use the code Nick Hardwick for 10% off. That's Nick Hardwick for 10% off. All right, that's enough. Let's get you back to the show. Love y'all.
It's time. Hey, it's the Hardwicks. I'm Nick. She's Jamie.
Hi.
It's the Hardwick Life Podcast. Welcome in. Hope everyone is doing well, wherever you're listening. However you're listening, we thank you so very much. I'm going to roll my foot out. Got a little plantar fascia that I've been dealing with for 18 goddamn months now. Yeah. Gosh darn it. It's killing me.
You've got issues.
I got big issues.
He's wearing Crocs. He's got a massager on his foot.
If you're watching on YouTube, the Crocs are sweet. They're
cool. They're like a tie dye. They
black and white tie dye. They're in the beach collection.
Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's like beach bleach or something like that. Something like that. Anyway, kind of cool.
I'm so happy that looking homeless has become like a really cool style because I've been training for this my entire life.
I walked into a
football game the other day. It was at the high school. And I was wearing like a pair of ratty sweatpants. I had like this oversized.
Ratty sweat shorts, not even
no,
pants.
No, it was sweatpants.
Oh, it was.
It was an oversized like vintage t-shirt that was like down to my knees.
It was Dennis Rodman?
Yep. Yeah. I had a male like double XL camo jacket on. And I had my Crocs on. And I'm like, ugh, like walking in. And this high school girl's like, gosh, I love your outfit.
Nice style.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I have been ready for this. This has been my look.
Who do we have to thank for this? Kanye West?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Like, bringing back homeless chic? Is that what we call it? What do we call
it? It's very 90s right now. We're very grungy in our style. Yeah. So it's like you want to look like you don't care, even though it's like you really care. But do you actually care?
But
I truly, at that day, I did not care.
Right.
But it was
not
just
a lot
funny.
Not a lot of effort went into.
To have a cute little 16-year-old, I love your outfit. I was like, yes.
All right. Dig
I've been
that.
Waiting for this.
We used to kill Shane Olivier because he used to walk around our facility. He was our right tackle for the Chargers, and we were drafted together from Ohio State. What's up, Shane? Hope you're doing well, buddy. And he'd walk around in Crocs, and we were like, that is the absolute worst. And he would say, they're so comfortable, though. And I was like, comfort? Never an excuse to give up fashion. And here I am at 40 years old.
You have given up all the fashion.
Jesus.
All the fashion.
Come on, Nick.
I know.
Get it together.
It's funny, though. That's how you go. You know what I've started doing, and this is ridiculous, is I love wearing high heels. I'm like a short, squatty human with a 26-inch inseam. So I want a long – yeah, a really short flipping leg.
That's probably not abnormal for a female.
I know, but at 5'4" – like, I wish that I would have a little bit more leg and a little less torso. I'm a really long torso and a short leg. Anyways.
Yeah. You have Neanderthal in you.
Not important, but my whole thing was I go out and I wear high heels and it's become almost unbearable. So I saw this TikTok trend.
with your toes or what? The whole foot?
Just the whole foot. I play tennis now. I'm like, had kids. My foot's flatter.
Tennis has to be the worst for your feet. Because when I watched you play the other day, I thought, I wouldn't be walking for a week after this.
Yeah, it hurts. It really does.
The court's hard and you stop and start and you cut and oh gosh.
So the latest TikTok trend, and I do not recommend this, but I did do it this weekend, is you coat your feet in lidocaine spray. So you literally go to the first aid section at your Walgreens. My toes were like sopping wet with lidocaine. Slipped those toes in the high heels. I went for 6 hours and didn't feel a damn thing.
All good, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to have hammer toes in about a month, but here we are.
Hammer toes is no joke. I had an aunt who dealt with hammer toes. and really awful. Okay. I mean, you have to get surgery and pins.
I don't
and
want
to
talk about it.
All that stuff.
I use lidocaine.
Lidocaine, by the way, was what they, I had a Lisfranc. So I've had 11 surgeries, two on my right foot, two on my left ankle, two left knee, one right knee, two left elbow, two shoulder. So 11 surgeries.
Yeah.
And the foot was one that got misdiagnosed during my career. I had a Lisfranc, which means my forefoot got dislocated from my midfoot. And I tore multiple ligaments in there because I got my toe got stepped on. I was blocking a 400-pound man. I tried to twist and whoosh, just everything tore. Well, I got misdiagnosed multiple times on MRI before finally getting diagnosed correctly after the season. Well, we were in the middle of a really good year that year. We were 11-5, went to the AFC Championship game. Obviously didn't want to miss out on things. And the doctor told me, it's just a mild sprain. You should probably get back in there. So I immediately flew home from Seattle and showed up to the team facility. And I said, shoot it up. We got to go because I'm not a sissy and I'm not going to let my team down. And you guys are really good and I want to be a part of this. And so 9 weeks, I ended up getting a lidocaine shot right in the middle of my foot, which those people don't even know there's crazy amounts of joints in there. They don't move very much. And Doc would put the needle right into one of those little holes, shoot it up, but he would put so much in there that it would bleed over into my arch because that's where all the pain was. Oh my goodness gracious. It felt every time like my foot was going to explode. He had put so much fluid in there. It's just like instant cold sweat. It's like, okay, I'm ready to play, I think. Tape this thing up. Let's go. Oh, my goodness. But for a week after that, I couldn't walk. So here we are dealing, I think, with there are repercussions to pay for things that you do early in life. And at 40 years old, I'm thinking, let's just cut the damn thing off.
Here you are in your crops with your massager under your desk here.
Let me get the blade going.
I know.
How about that?
Dang. Okay, before we jump into anything, okay. I need to ask you this. I haven't even said this to you.
Oh, boy.
I just finished.
We're doing this right now? You didn't want to warm me up to this or anything? Okay, go ahead.
I just finished, and you'd been recommending it to me for years, and I always am slow on your recommendations. Mm-hmm. But just finished Burn by Herman Ponser.
Oh, super good.
Wow. I have to say,
Herman Ponser, PhD, he's a, what do they call him, an anthropological biologist, something like that.
He's really fucking smart.
Super smart. So what his gig is he goes back through the ancient tribes that are still in existence today, like the
hunter-gatherer,
the Maasai tribal people, the Hadza people. I mean, he finds all the old tribes, figures out how they live. And he basically measured their metabolism.
Yeah.
And it was super cool. And then compared their way of living, which is 1.5 to 2 million years old, to the way that we live now.
Okay, but don't give it away.
Okay.
Read the book. It's freaking awesome. And the first couple chapters, like if you're reading it or listening to it from like a purely, I want to get my physique better. You got to kind of get through the first 3 or 4 chapters.
Yeah, he's laying it out.
Because he's laying it out. And it's a lot of like, yeah, anthropological information.
Right.
But even then, and I'm not a super sciencey person, it is fascinating. And he's funny. And
he's funny, right?
I love him. So if you can ever write to him.
Oh, I will. I'll ask him.
Get him on the podcast.
I actually have not heard him yet on a podcast, which is surprising.
And maybe he doesn't like it. You know, he doesn't read his own book. I listen to the audiobooks. So I don't know.
Oh, he does not?
Maybe he's just a shy guy. It's another guy that reads it. Who knows? But he's brilliant, and it's an awesome book. And it's just given me such a cool perspective on the diet and exercise and like what we chase right now in our modern world.
Right.
And to just flip and relax. He has a really relaxed approach.
You know, that was the moral of the story. And for me, I think that was the last health and nutrition book I read. Because I was like, well, you know, after this, that's enough.
Yeah.
I don't really need any more. This is enough information for me. This is incredibly practical. And if we just all calm down, we're all going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you get a chance, Burn.
Burn.
Great book.
Burn.
Great
book. Yeah, and I've recommended it to everybody in the program.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Read this book. It keeps it all. It's a great perspective. It's sciencey, but it's not complicated.
Exactly.
That's what I like so much about it. It's a very fresh perspective, and it's just takes us back to our origins as humans, which is cool. And treats us like a species of animal, which we are.
Which we are.
And the thing that I like, it's we're not a better species of animal than any other animal. We're just a species of animal. And we really like to overcomplicate things.
Right.
Yeah. Because here we are on the podcast. And we got in an awesome discussion yesterday about happiness. We went on a walk yesterday.
And some of our best, I think our best topics and our best conversations happen about 2 miles into walking.
I know. I wish we would just put on headsets and take a little recording device with us.
We should podcast from our walks.
From the walk.
Because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the blood getting to the brain. Maybe it's just the quiet. But it stirs up some really good conversation, doesn't it?
And you're right in the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's the fun thing. And you've got, there's something about, and Andrew Huberman talks about this all the time, is panoramic vision and being able to see into the distance, and movement forward is a very positive energy for us all to kind of take in. We're just leaving the past behind. We're moving forward. We got panoramic vision, so we're very calm. You got fresh blood and oxygen going to your brain, and you're with someone you love. So you kind of get all the feels all at once. And then I think that's when, you know, the best relaxation happens, when the best conversation happens. To me, that's a really great time.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for always having me on the walk when I'm able.
Yeah. When you're not massaging your foot, you can walk.
Stupid foot.
Yeah.
We got into a talk yesterday about happiness. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to call it the search for happiness, but I've been listening to, if you guys may know, Dr. John Berardi. He is the founder, creator, owner, whatever, of Precision Nutrition, which is a coaching system. It's a nutrition coaching system. And they've done over 100,000 clients or something like that. And basically what they try to coach is habit change, behavior change. And he does a ton of behavior change research. His team around him is incredible. He's a really great follow. Dr. John Berardi, Berardi. He's got a new podcast out. It's a heavily produced podcast. So it's like one of the NPR ones, you know, with Guy Raz or something like that, where there's music like do-do-do in the background, that kind of thing.
And the total opposite of our podcast.
It's not a free-flowing conversation. Right. He will have pre-programmed questions for people, and he will talk you into the question, but he's not like he's asking the person the question.
Gotcha.
Here's what they say about this. And he did a podcast on obsession with self-improvement, which is interesting. And he even talks about this. He's like, because that's basically what I've done for the last 30 years of my life, is coming up with self-improvement programs for people. And he's like, but are we getting the change that we're looking for? You know, if we're obsessing over self-improvement, is that going to, I guess the words they use is, map to the change that we're looking for, or map towards the life that we're looking for? And they argue, and he's got a bunch of research scientists on there from all the top universities in their fields of psychology and habit change and willpower and all these fun things. And basically what they say is, compulsing over anything, obsessing over anything, is not going to lead to the habit change. It's actually just going to lead to more compulsion and obsession down the line, because you're programming yourself to be obsessive or to be compulsive. Oh, that's a sad day when your coffee's gone.
Let's take a sip. It's gone.
Too bad.
Yeah.
You have like half of a sip left in there.
I don't want it.
The backwash. I don't want it. And I don't know how you feel about that. I know you're not a big, you don't like self-help books. You don't like, I've always liked self-help books. I always like business management books, which are basically business management, but they're self-help books. You know, that kind of like, give me some science, give me some research, give me some data. And then I want to try to incorporate that into my life. And then I listen to this and I'm like, all right, when's enough enough?
Right.
Like, kind of when is enough of the obsession and the compulsion and the self-improvement? Like, when are you good enough?
And I think I mentioned this yesterday in our talk. I think, lucky or unlucky, I haven't been like super heavy into like, you know, a workforce or like financially driven. You know, again, we talk about all the time how lucky we are. I've been able to raise our kids, to mostly be at home. So I think that when, from a young age, like since we've been together, I haven't been like, how can I improve? How can I get better? my whole thing is, how can I find happiness and fulfillment in my daily activities?
Right.
So for me, I never really needed self-help books. I needed a good group of friends, some fulfilling, like stimulating, you know, activities to do during my day.
Yes.
And that's what's always like filled my cup.
Yeah. You need your own schedule. You need your own activities. You need your own friends. And what does keep you happy
right.
during a day?
Right.
What is it? Can you answer that?
It changes.
Yeah. I know. Of course it changes over time. We change over time. And right. I would argue too that like there is a time in your life when like going hard and working on self-improvement and all that is maybe necessary to get to a place where it's like, this is a pretty good place. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel at 40 years old is that this is a pretty good place for me.
Right. And you can kind of take your foot off the gas a little.
Can relax a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So give me your, what brings you fulfillment currently?
I'm never going to figure out this microphone.
No,
sorry.
No.
He's fixing it.
You're good.
Me. Okay. What gives me fulfillment? So friends.
Right.
I need
having
that,
a good social group.
I need a social life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a social interaction. Physical activity. And so I do, it's not just like exercise, like going into a gym. I like having the social part of physical activity.
Yes.
So
I think a lot of females are in that boat. Yes.
So I love like group fitness classes. I play, you know, tennis on teams. I'm playing on a soccer team where I get to be with people.
I was only laughing because I know you're hurting because you had a soccer game last night on the rug again.
It just gets harder and harder. But so I do. So teams plus friends. So that's a big part of it. A schedule for me is really important.
Right.
Like having set things on set times, you know, maintaining that. Having some alone time is important.
Right.
You know. I mean, I'm a,
you do, you are like me, 50% extrovert, 50% introvert,
yes.
where you
so
really
out,
fuel on people, but you also need to recharge from people.
Totally. I'm trying to think. Obviously our family, our relationship at home is good. And mm-hmm. that's important. Maintaining. It's almost like the hygiene of the house is sort of how I would refer to it as.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like stay at home moms are highly underrated, or stay at home dads for that matter. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Staying at home, raising kids in the health of the home hygiene, like you said, that's kind of a cool phrase, is wildly important. Because if you have a healthy environment to live in, then you have healthy people. It's like in the business world, they would say a healthy culture is successful.
Right.
Right. So you're in charge of a lot of the times the culture here, the health of the home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really important. And I think in our society, super undervalued.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, it's simple. It's not crazy,
yeah.
but I need those kind of things every day. A little bit of alone time, a little bit of social time. And then I need things in the house to be sort of like how I like them.
Yeah.
You know, food stocked in the fridge, clean house, kids are where they need to be on time. Yeah. And if I can maintain those three things, I'm pretty happy overall.
Oh, that is awesome.
You?
You know, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot. Yeah. And I would say, from a very early age, I was really concerned. And, you know, my motto is I'm not as good today as I will be tomorrow. And for a lot of times that means for a lot of the time that meant getting up early, getting after it with a workout, going to work, doing this, like making sure that I'm finding slight ways to improve. Like in football, it's, can I find a way to make that 6-inch step better or punch with my thumb up instead of down? Because that's going to make the difference between a winning block and a losing block. Or, you know, what's my leadership skills? Do I need to learn how to speak better? I'm going to go to Toastmasters. I'm going to, you know, how can I improve in subtle ways through my leadership, through being a friend, my technique, my strength, all of these things, right? It's like finding ways to get better. But as I age, and like I transitioned out of the NFL, right? And it was like, I've got to get a job because that's what you have to do is you have to get a job. You have to keep pushing. You got to keep going. And then something happened. I don't know, when I turned 40 years old or was kind of on the precipice even of turning 40. And I guess I was just like hit with the reality of, you know what you need to know as far as like nutrition goes, as far as health goes, you know, how to take care of your body. We run a successful podcast. Like I put out the book and I was working like 10, 12 hour days to put out the weight loss book. And I think you were looking at me like, what is this lunatic doing? Like, part of the whole reason of moving back to Indiana was to just get more time and space and not be stressed about work. But I still couldn't get it out of my head that I had to show up every single day and beat myself up and find little ways to improve and be working and striving and making money and da 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 da. And it's like, you don't really have to. You know, that was the whole point of moving here. And part of the thing was like Herman Ponser's book. When I listened to it, I'm like, you know what you need to know? Like, that's enough. And like in the nutrition world, it's like, you don't have to keep going down these rabbit holes and being a researcher and like getting all this information so you can counter. It's like, no, if it's effective, it's effective. You know what health is. You know eating lean protein and eating fiber is good for you. You know that you should work out, but you probably shouldn't work out too much. And I probably need to remind myself a little bit of that even more.
Right.
Right. It's like you don't have to kill your body to be in a good place. And so a lot of it's just like, I guess, accepting who I am and what I've done in my life and being good with it and still trying to find ways to improve without being a dick to myself, you know, without having to like go hard in the paint, without having to wake up at 4 a.m. It's like, you don't have to do that to make improvements. And the cool thing about this podcast was, and I forget which doctor it was, because they kind of come in and out of voices and everything. I think his name was like Tift or something like that, or Rift or something. And I highly recommend it. I posted it on my Instagram. Nobody even cares. And I frankly don't give a crap about my Instagram account anymore. Like, I'm just so over that world that I just don't care. So like, the only thing I post is, I hope it helps. If not, I really don't care if you don't like it. Like, that's it. So I posted the John Berardi podcast. And the one thing that really stuck out to me on that show between the two of them was, he says, you're actually not going to improve if you don't accept where you are now. So if you can't accept where you are and who you are and what you're doing in this world and what needs to be improved, you're never going to improve that. And it's like a yin and a yang thing. It's a real Zen concept, right? It's like, you have to accept this to be able to improve that. And if you accept it, then in this guy, and he's a super cool research scientist, but he's like, if you accept it, the universe will align and it will help you correct what you need to correct. But if you're always fighting it, if you're always beating your head on the wall, you've never accepted it and you're not going to improve and you're not going to find happiness.
Right.
If that's what you're looking for. And I would think that the goal of self-improvement would be to find happiness, not to like have abs or not to have more money or not to like whatever it is. The goal of all of those things should be to have more peace and have more happiness. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah. Wow. No, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and that was kind of what we were talking about yesterday, really, was like how to find happiness in the day-to-day, how to find happiness with yourself and to be comfortable with what you're doing and what you've accomplished and where we are in the world.
Right. And just beware again of that arrival syndrome. When this happens, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, because that's no matter that's it's so true. And if you want to lose weight, if you want to make this much money, if you want to drive this car or live in this neighborhood or, you know, have people tout your name, is that going to make you happy if you end up losing that weight? Are you going to be happy because the scale says a certain number? Are you going to be happy because you can lift this much weight? Are you going to be happy because your bank account says this? Not if you're not happy.
Right.
Not if you're not happy.
Right.
It's not. It's not. Nothing is going to make you happy but you being happy. It's a catch-22.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you're potentially chasing your tail. And I would say, back to the point of accepting what you want to change before it will actually change, is maybe finding happiness will actually allow those things to come into your life. Like finding joy, finding bliss, finding happiness in the day-to-day processes of your life and whatever you're trying to change, that will actually allow the weight to come off, or you to wake up early and to find joy in waking up early. And I try to stress to every client that I have, it's like, this doesn't have to psychologically be a beatdown to be effective. And right. I think so many people have that in their head that to make progress in life, it has to be hard. It has to be a struggle. When in reality, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be a struggle. It can be fun. You can find joy. I was listening to a podcast today with Deepak Chopra and a guy who set the record for, it was like a 1,000-plus mile race. And you would think you would have to wake up and be like, oh my God, I got to do it. He's like, he wakes up every day and he's like, I go in 10-second intervals or 5-mile intervals at the longest. It's like, I get done with that 5 miles and I do the next 5 miles. And he just tries to find bliss in that action, right? Just like in that action, instead of going, this is the worst. Why did I sign up for this? I mean, it's like, you signed up for it. You should maybe just embrace it.
Yeah.
And like enjoy the process of going through it and exploring a little bit more about yourself.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right.
I don't have anything to add to that. I think that I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
That's a great sort of.
And I thought the one thing that Deepak said that was super cool out of this one, by the way, he's got a great podcast too. My kids actually listened to it with me the other day in the car. They? Yeah, they did. And it was on creating false identities and like buying into the image of yourself and how that's a very dangerous thing to do. And they really like his voice. He's super peaceful.
Right.
I mean, he's incredibly zen. So the one thing that he said about this, he goes, it kind of goes back to the old adage, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. And when he said it, I was like, yeah, that's it. I was like, cool, Deepak. He is so good. So his is Mind Body Zone. It's actually on Audibles. So if you have Audible or whatever that app is on iPhone, it's free. So he's just on there and it's free and it's really awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Deepak. Get into that.
Yeah.
Super fun. So that one and Dr. John Berardi. And that's the thing. Like I said, I don't really care about my Instagram. It's like, I don't know. I just promote everybody else because there's so many way smarter people. It's like, hey, you may want to listen to this. Hey, check this out. Do that. You know, it's like, I don't obviously have everything figured out, but there's a lot of people out there who've got a lot of things figured out. So it's fun to listen to. And here we are talking about self-improvement. And I guess the whole thing is just accept where you are. Accept where you are. Accept who you are. You're good enough. That's kind of a common trend that I like to say with my clients is just know that wherever you're starting, you're also good enough right there. And it's okay to want to change, but accept you now and don't beat yourself up for being who you are. Okay.
All right.
Love you guys.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.